I want to talk about the Garden of God today. How's everything in the Garden of God? How's everything growing? And I'd like to start off with a couple of verses from John 15 and introduce us to a couple of characters in the garden. I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And so here is the Garden of God we're introduced to. Our Heavenly Father is the gardener. He's got a green thumb, our Father. Hallelujah. And Jesus, he is the vine, and we're the branches. And all the nutrients come through the vine and into the branches. Some branches are taken away because they're just dead. They're not responding. But if you're a nice responding branch and you're bearing fruit, God's going to come along and prune you. Does that sound exciting? Hallelujah. What kind of fruit does God want to bear? Well, he wants to bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of righteousness in each one of us. And a parable was given, and it's an earthly story to reveal the heavenly truth. An earthly story to reveal heavenly truth. And so here we're introduced to the gardener, to the vine, to the branches. And, you know, I just wanted to say this morning, there's a whole lot going on in the Garden of God. And I wanted to talk about the parables. And in Matthew 13 here, I don't want that up, Angie. You're about 2 miles ahead of me. But I want to talk about 13th chapter of Matthew because it's nothing but parables from beginning to end. And the first parable in that chapter is the parable of the sower who sows the seed of God's word. And interesting how Jesus used farming to reveal to us the ways of heaven. But the sower of the word was revealing what type of soil that it landed on every place he sowed the seed. You know, the seed of God's word is, it's like the sun in the sky that and has the ability to melt wax, and it has the ability to harden clay. And it doesn't change itself or alter itself to do those two things. It just simply reveals the elements that are in those two objects. And that's what the Word of God does. When the sower sows the Word of God, it begins to reveal what type of soil that it lands on. And, you know, everywhere the Word of God lands, you get a different attitude. Everywhere it lands. You get a different reaction. Jesus mentioned four of those areas. But it's because God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Amen. And it reveals what's growing on the inside. That's what I love about the Word of God. I can read it in quiet. No one knows what I'm reading. It reveals what's growing on my inside. Amen. It's a discerner. We all learn to love the Word of God and learn to love the parables that Jesus told. The very next parable, you know, is the parable of the wheat and tares. We'll just skim over that for a minute. You can put those up now, Angie, those two verses. And it's about the wheat and tares. Another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And he went away. Fasten your seatbelt, family. There's things growing in God's garden that God did not plant. You probably noticed that. Praise God. But those verses make it clear. There's things growing in the garden of God that God didn't plant. To read through the parable, let's just go to verse 38. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy sowed them. Who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Wow. And so he's talking about the sower, and Jesus is letting us know in the parable that the wheat and the tares are going to grow side by side. Isn't that interesting? Let's read verse 30. 13:30. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barns. And so here is these illustrations God's using for the outgrowth of the kingdom of heaven and the outgrowth of the kingdom of hell. And they're represented by the tares and the wheat. And it's interesting to take note, where is this outgrowth of these kingdoms, where are they being manifested? And they're being manifested in people. The outgrowth of heaven and the outgrowth of hell is being manifested in people. Amen. You'll know them by their fruit. And the Lord wants to bear fruit in us, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so some people think that, oh yeah, hell and heaven is going to be manifested in the field across the street. Not so. It's the planting of the seed of the tares and the wheat is where the manifestation of these two kingdoms, the outgrowth of these two kingdoms, are taking place. And and I noted that in this parable, the wheat and the tares are both present at the time of the reapers come, the time of harvest. Both are present, the tares and the wheat. And so we see that in our world. They're growing side by side. And we see the outgrowth of both kingdoms and around us. Hallelujah. There's a fruitful field growing right here. I hope at Durham Full Gospel Church there's a fruitful field. And, some of you I see you've been pruned lately. And it looks like you must be fruit bearers. And our Father is the gardener. Hallelujah. Who does all the gardening. And we're being introduced to all the characters in the garden of God. Amen. And the enemy was there sowing seeds. Yeah. He's always seems to be not too far away. But both were present. And we have to both admit, all of us have to admit, that we're not part of a nice, neat creation. We live in a mutinous world where rebellion against God is the order of the day. And in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the outgrowth of heaven and hell, God makes us some wonderful promises. And I want to read one from Romans 9. And it talks, he uses the word predestined. A lot of pastors are afraid of that word. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Amen. The word predestined is used even in the midst of the chaos, and God's got a plan. And we read the word again in Ephesians 1:5, and it says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And so we see that word predestined, and what does it mean? Well, predestined is something that's been pre-planned. Something that's been set in order, something that's predetermined ahead of time. And someone came to our Bible prayer meeting a week or two ago, and they were reading something that said that things are settled in heaven and worked out on the earth. I agree with that, and maybe you don't. you can agree, you can believe whatever you want, but I believe that things are settled in heaven. That's what predestined is. God has predetermined the plan beforehand, and then he works it out in the earth. It's predestined, it's pre-planned. It's his purpose, his plans and purpose, but he gives man the opportunity to walk away from it. You can embrace it or you can not embrace it, you know. And so this teaching of predestination is a two-sided coin. On God's side of the coin, it's written in stone. It's written in concrete. You can trust in it. You can trust in the Word of God and the things that are written there, because it's God's plans. It's God's purposes. But when you get to the other side of the coin, it gets a little flimsy because he's working it out in the fallen human race. And we have the ability to walk away if we want. And I know because of Matthew 22:3 says, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. Calling time. It was time to call. Hallelujah. Those that were invited to the wedding, but they were not willing to come. And so that tells me that they were invited, but they weren't willing to come. And so not everybody comes. And so God's got a concrete plan. He's working out from heaven. And we've got to embrace that plan. Hallelujah. That's our job. We have a responsibility too. And so I want you to know that God's going to work out his plans in this world, in all its amazing dimensions and all its amazing blessings and glory. Hallelujah. He's not going to fail. He's going to unfold it in all its fullness. Hallelujah. He's going to have his way. Praise God. And I want you to know that you're no accident. You're not an add-on that come along later on and God said, oh, let's come, we got to find a place for them now. And it doesn't work like that. You're not an awkward add-on. You're an essential component of God's plans and purposes in the here and now and in the future. And I'm glad he's got the plan. Amen. You know the first thing they asked me when they made me pastor? What's the 5-year plan? I could just scratch my head. You better ask the Lord what the 5-year plan is. Because I don't know anything. Praise God. And so, you know, God has a concrete plan that we can anchor our souls in. We can be confident in it. And we can run away from it. But the Lord has called us to be part of a immortal race. What a calling. Hallelujah. And he calls us through this wilderness called planet Earth. Hallelujah. We're walking through a wilderness. And I'm heading for deliverance. Amen. We live in a wilderness, but we're heading for an eternal land. Hallelujah. Now, let's get back to the parable of the wheat and the tares for a minute, where we're introduced to some of the characters there and that are at work in God's garden. And I wanted to read Matthew 13:39 and introduce some of the characters that we already know about. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. And so we see there's many characters at work in the garden of God. Amen. You know, there's much happening in the garden of God. There's a whole lot going on. And more than just pruning. You know, I lived in Thornbury for a year. And they got apple orchards everywhere up there. They're really beautiful when they bloom in the spring. And they bring in people from Mexico to do all the pruning up there. And they're pruning. That was where I was first introduced to pruning. Amen. And the second time is when the Lord came with the shears to do some pruning in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there's much happening in the garden of God, and we are the garden of God. And, you know, I've always appreciated verses from Daniel, because it's in Daniel where God pulls the curtain back and lets us see into the spiritual world a little bit, and gives us something to see there. And let's go there. Angie, can you find Daniel chapter 10? That's a good work. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw the great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned into frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Don't you love it when they leave you alone? Things just get crazy, and everybody, whew, it's gone. Verse 9, yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Let's not stop. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on my palms. It sounds like he's on all fours. And he said to me, "Oh, Daniel, man of greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and understand and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." And so the angel was getting Daniel past his fears and past his trembling. He got him standing upright so he could at least listen. Amen. But he's letting Daniel see behind the curtain. And he came to answer Daniel's prayer. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days to come. And so we get to see Daniel, and we get to see him meeting an angelic being, and the effects it had on him. He fell down on his face like a dead man, and you know...